Adi. Kunjabi ha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhadi Girivara Dhadi Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhadi Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamana Tira Vanachadi Jamanatira Vanachadi Windows Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjari Hari Madhava Kunjari Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamanatira Vanachadi Jamanatira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrita Gacharya Divine Grace is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gora Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Savridvacha Shrutva. Suhrit Priya Chikirshaya Prahasya Jagmator Gopayar Ritau talavanam prabho. Evam suvrit vachak shrutva. Suvrit priya chakirshaya. Rahasya jagmator gopayar. Ritau talavanam prabho. Evam, thus, Sohrit, of their friends, Bachaha, the words, Shrutva, hearing, Sohrit, to their friends, Priya, pleasure, Chakirshaya, desiring to give, Prahasya, laughing, Jagmatoho, the two of them went, Gopai, by the cowherd boys, Vrittau, surrounded, Tala Vanam, to the Tala forest, Prabho, the two lords. Translation, hearing the words of their dear companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed, and desiring to please them, they set off for the Talavan, surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Purport. Lord Krishna was thinking, how can a mere ass be so formidable, he who was omniscient was thinking. And thus he smiled at the petition of his boyfriends, as stated by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28:32. Hasam Hadir Avanatakila Loka Tivra Shokashru Sagara Vishoshanam Atyutaram. Kapila Dev stated, the smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. Indeed, for those who bow down to the Lord, his smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of the world, of this world. Unquote. Thus, to encourage their boyfriends, Lord Krishna And Lord Balaram smiled, laughed, and immediately set out with them for the Tala forest. This is the killing of Dhenuka, chapter 15. The previous building up to this section, the coward boys were playing and playing and playing and doing like little children or small boys will play and play and play and play, and there's no end to their ability or, you know, the creativeness of their playing. And that's the life of the cowherd boys. It's also the life of small boys in this world. But this world is a reflection, a perverted reflection of the cowherd boys in the spiritual world. And the big difference, is Krishna's at the center. So it's in this case, it's a transcendental rasa. In the worldly case, it's a reflection of transcendental rasa. There's taste that little children or small boys have in playing and playing and playing. But that taste, that's the happiness of small boys, is a distorted, perverted reflection specifically designed to cover their remembrance of Krishna. And in this case, the cowherd boys are with Krishna. Krita Punya Punja, a phrase Prabhupada would quote so often. Who can say? Shukadeva Goswami, in the course of narrating this pastime, just comes out with an ecstatic expression. Who can understand how many transcendental pious activities these young boys have rendered to take part in Krishna's pastimes, where he, who is this and that and the other thing for elevated persons, they're playing with him. Like, who can understand the good fortune? So the worldly sense of both Ram's pastimes and Krishna's pastimes, somebody was asking this question, a guest after one of the classes, trying to understand the seemingly human feature. And the seemingly human feature, on the one hand, makes it attractive, and on the other hand, makes it look like he's one of us. And so it yet further covers those who cannot see Bhagavan. Bhagavan. For the cowherd boys, they don't see Bhagavan. They see their dear friend. And they're experiencing direct friendship with the personality of Godhead, the perfection of friendship. The perfection of friendship, not a reflection of the real thing, the real thing. And here is the reflection, and the reflection takes our attention away from the real thing. The happiness that's flickering and insubstantial, again, temporary and without real substance. It's by design to keep our attention away from the substance and the real happiness. So these cowherd boys, the happiness that they're experiencing, it's otherworldly. But the very nature of these pastimes, hearing the pastime, just like Namadi, or Shunbata Sukkata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridhyan Taksoi Bhadani Vidhunoti Surasitam. So it's being said here in the purport that hearing these pastimes, quoting Kapila Dev, the smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. So hearing about it is as good as the cowherd boys experiencing it. I mean, we're not of the consciousness of the cowherd boys, but the potency of that sound vibration is the same potency as Krishna's interacting with the cowherd boys. Now, we don't have that realization, but scripture tells us that sound vibration is the same as Krishna. So, in time, Krishna's appearance is not going to be for a long, long time. Going back in time, it was some time ago, and it's going to be so. But we can access that very same pastime of Krishna through sound vibration. And that sound vibration brings real happiness. For those who bow down to the Lord, his smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears. Very beautiful, poetic way to describe. Dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world. So there's intense suffering in this world because there's the appearance of intense suffering in the spiritual world, for example, separation from Krishna. It's too intense. Or so many. In Ram's pastimes, I'm speaking Ram's pastimes because Nityananda Prahlad is here and he likes Ram's pastimes. The sorrow feature is abundant in Ram's pastimes and sometimes extreme, and even Ram, extreme, almost like a madman when Sita is kidnapped and he can't find her. It's like Radha missing Krishna, or when Radha goes into one of her sulking moods, sometimes Krishna goes mad, or apparently. And Purnamasi has to intervene and have Radha stop her sulking and come together with Krishna. It looks horrible. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Narada is describing to Gopakumar Krishna's pastimes of sorrow, he says, the pastime of Krishna leaving Vrindavan is so terrible. It's not good to talk about Krishna leaving Vrindavan to worldly people because they'll think, uh-oh, better not get attached to Krishna because that's what's in store for me, is this kind of intense sorrow. In fact, it's so painful for a Vaishnava that it's, we don't like to speak about it. And then he goes on speaking about it because although it's filled with sorrow, it's a stimulation of ecstatic love. And then the other side, this smiling, laughter, the three things that are mentioned. Smiling, his laughter, and then his going to the tall forest. All three are stimulations of ecstatic love. And hearing about them are stimulations of ecstatic love. For those who bow down. No. Namaha is paying obeisances. Namaskar, paying obeisances. We pay obeisances and it's part of the culture. But Namaha has a meaning. I learned this from hearing from our acharyas. Na Maha, specifically and explicitly, according to Padma Purana, it means minus false ego, not Maha, without any false ego. So in a true spiritual conception, without false ego covering the conception of who we are, submission, pranipat. For one who offers their pranipat, or full submission, or bows down before the Supreme Lord, then hearing or experiencing, because hearing is an experience too for such a person, then the ocean of tears dry up. Kleshagni, klesha, the miseries of material existence, dry up, or they're dissipated even in the sadhana stage, and then in the mature stage, we continue namaha, namaha, submitting ourselves not once, but again and again and again and again and continuously in the mood of service to Krishna, which means many things. Service to the Vaishnavas and cleaning the floor, mandir marjanado, and washing the pots. Like we heard yesterday, this one Kirti was saying what his experience was going to the pot room and seeing a pile of pots. So, namaha makes the heart free from, you know, all of the things we think we are that we're not, and the pride that goes with thinking all of those things we are but we're not, and becoming freed from that pride and the misconception that support the pride. Then hearing, it stimulates that which is already there but dormant. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. So what we're doing, entering into this 10th canto, is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And we're being invited into the stimulation of the ecstatic mood of the resident of Vrindavan for Krishna. And I wanted to say a couple more things. Priya Chakirshaya, in the second line, Surit Priya Chakirshaya. So Priya here is pleasure. It means dear or having some affectionate feeling for, but it's pleasure. Priya Chakirshaya. They were desiring to give pleasure. The two, Krishna and Balaram, they were desiring to give pleasure. They know how to give pleasure. Now the pleasure was to the cowherd boys, but that happens when Krishna and Balaram want to give pleasure to the cowherd boys. It's a gift. That pleasure, the stimulation of ecstatic love, is a gift from the object of love. It awakens the pleasure of the living entity. And just a little sharing, I've been meditating a lot on this empathic communication topic, not only in Gita Nagari, but subsequent to Gita Nagari. In my picture of the Bhagavad Gita, that whole topic is Bhagavad Gita 17:15, austerity of speech. And in the Krishna's words, satyam priya hitam cha. Vakyam, vak means sound, speaking, making sounds. You know, a frog makes a sound, a dog makes a sound, and humans have the capacity, most to make a sound. Vak. Vachaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvachaha. Say that the root is the same. Vakya. Satyam. So austerity of speech is truth that is satyam. It's truthful. And priya. Priya is you want the other person who is hearing the truth to feel pleasure. I mean, sometimes people don't feel pleasure hearing anything other than what's in their mind. So that's their filter. But the intention of the person who's practicing austerity of speech is it endears the other person to the speaker. That's a challenge sometimes, but that's the intention at least of one who is exercising austerity of speech. And hitam is beneficial. Here's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. Such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. By such discussions, one may derive the highest benefit. Hitam, beneficial. So he's speaking of, specifically, the next message is Svadhyaya. Those of you from India, you know that there's a whole group, a Gujarati group, called the Svadhyayas. And they you know, they're impersonalists, but their thing is, they like to study scripture, so that's their thing. Ours is bhakti, theirs is swadhyaya. Like jnanis, that they study the scripture and the goal is impersonalism. As far as I can understand. So, it's a Sanskrit word, it's right in Bhagavad Gita. It's something that those that are practiced in austerity of speech, they do, swadhyaya. Abhyasanam, abhyasa, they practice study of the scripture. So that when they speak, it's the message is beneficial. It's hitting the target of what's the living entity and what's beneficial for the living entity. Of course, living entity is in a package, gross and subtle body, so it speech needs to address those needs as well, the needs of the body and the mind, but beneficial according to the teaching of scripture and pleasing. So this is mode of goodness. Austerity of speech, it's the section of the Bhagavad Gita. It's mode of goodness speech. Now here is the transcendental version. The mode of goodness is a reflection of the transcendental version. This is a reflection of the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, it's not just austerity of speech, it's the same elements. Satyam, priya, hitam. So what's beneficial is the happiness of the living entity. You're the best friend of anyone, devotee, non-devotee, you know, those in the ashram, those who come to the temple, those who are out on Harinam and book distribution and out there in the world, in the workplace or whatever. When within your heart, your circumstance, if it's in the workplace, it may be restricted, but the heart of that individual, us, is to remind others of Krishna somehow. And that, you know, there may be restriction how the somehow can happen. But that's the heart of the devotee who wants to. And that way, you're the friend of those persons. Whatever their behavior may be not so nice. But you're their friend, you want to remind them of Krishna. Somehow. in an appropriate manner that's pleasing, priyam, and satyam, and hitam. Now, that's our Sankirtan movement mood, and the purpose of that is ultimately to please Krishna. The mode of goodness and the practice, the exercise of controlling the tongue and controlling the mind is for the pleasure of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate is for the pleasure of Krishna, not something else. At least working towards that goal, because we need to remind ourselves of Krishna if we're going to remind others of Krishna. But then the Bhagavatam teaches what's it like when that's your consciousness. Always. After many, 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 as according to Shukadeva Goswami, many, many, many lifetimes of living like that. What does it look like? If the rasa is cowherd boys, then you engage with Krishna as cowherd boys engage with Krishna, and the exchange is still there. Laughter, smiling, and other affects or other gestures, Krishna's glancing and so forth. His words, his sweetness, everything. And then his actions, you know, let's go to the tall forest. And off they go for the pleasure of the cowherd boys. And so they're feeling pleasure because they're on the receiving end of Krishna's wishing them to have some pleasure. It may look different. It may look like, oh no, but that's also pleasure because it intensifies shelter taking in Krishna. I was having a discussion with somebody yesterday about this liminal space topic. If you weren't here for that morning session, the space between where we are and where we want to be, you know, just in terms of our chanting, there's Shuddhanam and there's Namabhas, and there's a big gap. And to move towards Shuddhanam, it's this space. And the transition can be awkward and so forth and so on. And what about in the spiritual world? No more liminal space, or is there still liminal space? Liminal space in the spiritual sense, where we don't know what's next. And it's quite okay. Because whatever it is that's next, it's Krishna's kindness. It may look different than Krishna's kindness, depending upon the circumstance. Oh, Krishna just left Vrindavan. Doesn't look like kindness. The mind can shatter into little pieces, or etc., etc. But it's Krishna's kindness because the essence of it is stimulation of ecstatic love. So the look of it may be, to the worldly sense, horrible. But the uncertainty of the next moment is certainly there, except Krishna is very kind. And it's not only in Vrindavan, it's a relationship with Krishna. My thought is going now to Sudama, Brahman, when he went to see Krishna. He didn't want to go ask Krishna for anything because that wasn't his relationship, and he was completely contented with next to nothing. But he had a dear wife, and he had loving affection for Krishna. So put the two together, and his loving wife wanted him to go ask Krishna. So he went, finally. But his real intention was just to be with Krishna. So when he was with Krishna, loving exchange on different levels, but all loving exchange. And when he was leaving Dwarka, Krishna is so kind. He didn't even ask me why I came to see him. He's omniscient. He didn't have to ask me. But if he asked me, I'm a Brahmin, I'd have to answer truthfully. And then he would have given me all this stuff. And that would become proud. Oh, look at all my stuff. And I'm very special. Krishna gave me stuff. So he didn't even ask me, because he knows my tendency to become proud. Krishna is very kind. He was embracing that, you know, in the language of yesterday morning's class, that liminal space. And then when he got back, and his little cottage wasn't there anymore. And that, you know, the details of what's described, what was there instead, it's just amazing. You know, like a miniature Dwarka instead of his little cottage, etc. And then it's the same response. Krishna is very kind. And he didn't become the enjoyer. He didn't become proud. He didn't become anything. But he had that exchange with Krishna that was the most important thing to him. And that's something that those who are very dear to Krishna can rely upon. And as the verse that's being quoted from Kapiladeva, the tears from the ocean of sadness and misery from material existence are dried up. Not the circumstance gets dried up, but the tears of misery become dried up. As it says in chapter 5, Bhagavad Gita, when that happiness is within, the yogi whose happiness is within, any extreme on this end and that end it's not something that is disturbing. The allurement to be the enjoyer, or the ocean of tears because of the misery of material existence, because of that happiness within. It's an open secret. Spiritual teachings in the world have the same idea. And to achieve that happiness within, we're abundantly given the resources to achieve that and the descending mercy to achieve that, and et cetera, et cetera. And we're just like, you know, struggling. Or at least not there yet, because there's lots of contamination. And we have our favorite attachments, and it's taking some time. That's part of our message from the weekend. So we're going on hearing Canto 10, Chapter 15, and go on into the Tal forest with the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, and see what they do for the pleasure of the cowherd boys. Any discussion?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So the time doesn't influence Krishna because he is beyond time. So in the spiritual world, there is Krishna of age of one or two, like we worship in Damodar Mal, and there is Krishna at the age of five, plays with cowherd boys along Balaram, and also there is Krishna with the age of 16 in spiritual world. So which age of Krishna is actual Krishna, and from which age of, or which form is actual form where the other expansions came?
Which active form is what?
I mean, there are
multiple. Don't say the whole thing, just say the question.
Out of all the forms of different ages, which is the actual original form?
I'm smiling. I heard what he said. I'm just like, wow. There isn't this one, or that one, or the other one.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay? They're all collectively. He said, so that's the answer. It's his pastime, and he's exhibiting his pastime differently to reciprocate with different qualities of love of his devotee and to experience his variegatedness of happiness, which is all him. It's his happiness and their happiness combined. It's a loving exchange. So all. Not this one, that one. Anything else?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Subal, you want to take the microphone to Subal?
I'm trying to formulate a question in my head, but the whole retreat was very transforming and touching, and I really appreciated the message. Specifically on this topic of acting for the pleasure of Krishna, which you explain is at the heart of the heart of
yes,
bhakti.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of being in this liminal space of moving towards being in the position, just like the cowherd voice, anything is acting for the pleasure of Krishna. And the idea of taking to the chanting of the holy name with the purpose of praising Krishna and to establish a relationship with Krishna.
Keep it concise, please.
Yeah, and in one sense, I tried to confirm that I understood.
You're repeating the messages, and I appreciate that so we can hear them again.
Well,
try to be concise.
Okay. This in our daily routines, everything we do for the pleasure of Krishna, to come to that position. Because it is clear in your message, you know, to do it through the chanting. But now in the other activities, what kind of meditation we also can have, or how parallel is all these things that we do?
Each of us are different. So it's going to be for you a little different than the next person. However, having said that, the primary access to that consciousness is the name. And those various, this is my understanding, maybe this is me, but my understanding is the holy name is a prayer for service. Oh, energy, please engage me in the service. So then the service is that service. So we do the chanting of the name in that mood, and then the service is an extension of our relationship with the holy name. And the holy name and Krishna are not different, so it's not like, is it over here or is it over there thing. It's our relationship with Nama Prabhu. That's the consciousness that we carry. And thus, in one form or another, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So when Jamuna Jivada is in the workplace, he's not, you know, playing cartels or singing. But the carryover of that, how the chanting takes place, is this is a service I'm offering to Krishna. Now, exactly what that feeling is and what it looks like, that's the liminal space. But it's the principle of that my life is meant for pleasing Krishna. This is an aspect of my life, which includes, and you can, you know, start filling in the picture. You know, paint a picture of, and then, you know, you or somebody when they're in the kitchen or somewhere when they're in book distribution or someone is offering the arti to the deity. It's, you know, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Externally, if possible, internally, at least. And that kirtan, again, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it includes the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the Swarup, no, yeah, Swarup Shakti of Krishna. He's the Shaktiman, and the Bhagavatam is Swarup Shakti of Krishna. So it's you remembering those messages, or you remembering the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the followers of Lord Chaitanya wishing to give the message of the Goswamis to the world, and we're assisting them, and you know, and so forth. That's the mood of service. And the shape is going to be a little different for each person. But the resting foundation is the name. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I hear this term, Nama Prabhu. Still I'm not clear, Nama. You're telling us there's no difference between Krishna and his name. But we say Nama Prabhu, it somehow sounds to me like he's another devotee of Krishna, or why do you have that Nama Prabhu?
Because he's master. It's not, you know, we address others, so Rupa Vilas Prabhu. So that's, you know, it's an expression of endearment, but because you're meant for reminding us of Krishna, so you're Prabhu. And the humility of, the context is different, although the term is the same, the meaning is according to the person that you're addressing as Prabhu. So Nama Prabhu doesn't mean like, you know, Bhakta Nama Prabhu. It's in the higher sense of Prabhu. It's indicating person when we say Nama Prabhu, instead of, you know, merely a sound, an abstract thing. It's the person, Nama Prabhu. That's the meaning. That's how you should, when you hear that Nama Prabhu, put that through your processor.
I have a second question about this class. So, Srila Prabhupada, I was reading What is the Difficulty book by Srutta Kriti Prabhu. And he expressed that he used to read Krishna book in LA, and Srila Prabhupada enjoyed all the Krishna's pastime, Krishna killing demons. And also, Srila Prabhupada, in his songs, he writes, you know, when will the time come when he will roll in Vrindavan forest with Krishna and his friends. Is there some indication that Srila Prabhupada was was one of those?
Thank you for the question. No.
Maharaj, I was wondering, it says in the verse that those who bow down to the laughter of Krishna, then that dries up the ocean filled with the tears of material suffering, something
like that.
Yes,
like that.
Sometimes this doubt comes in the mind that when we're experiencing material suffering, then we can't just go and take shelter of Krishna's pastimes. We have to do something else to prepare us to take shelter of Krishna's pastimes.
Take some prasadam. So go ahead.
So in what sense exactly does taking shelter of Krishna's pastimes drive the tears of suffering? Does it just negate the suffering or minimize it or make it seem insignificant?
It's all of the above, especially the last one. You know, the last one is, what is it really? You know, what's the suffering? The suffering is identification with the body, and then that which is issuing from the body. It's not, you know, the gross and subtle bodies. And because of identification with the gross and subtle bodies, there's material suffering. So let's just take somebody that stubbed their toe. What to speak of, you know, dying of cancer or something like that. But just like stub your toe and get a thorn in your shoe or something like that. And blister, you know, so whatever, a toothache, some pain. So what happened to that pain? When you become, you know, an exalted devotee, let's take our Srila Prabhupada with a toothache. He just transcended the pain. Now, he wasn't unaware of the pain. But what his experience of that pain would be compared to yours or mine, who can say what his experience was? It mitigated, it diminished, it became insignificant because of absorption in Krishna. That happiness within that diminished the significance of the pain. So he wasn't unaware of the pain. His whole jaw was swollen. But he was not only tolerating the pain, but transcending the pain and dealing with it. Give me some cloves. But, you know, didn't go to the dentist. Anyway, it depends upon the degree of Krishna consciousness, what it means, and how it, so it's all of the above. Grandfather Bhishma, you know, Prabhupada writes, who can understand how much painful? He said, didn't just have a, you know, stub his toe, he had arrows through his body. So many, the body wasn't even touching the ground. A bed of arrows. What was he experiencing? Surely he was experiencing pain. But what was his consciousness upon?
Guruji, the question I have is actually from the Festival of Holy Name that Snehavali Mataji wrote. Did you want to take it now? Or?
Yeah, I'll take it now, but I'm going to end after this question.
Okay. So she asks, regarding Akinchana Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, that's the perfection for his chanting. My concern is we chant to attain love for Krishna, and when we love somebody to show gratitude, we serve them. Chanting Mahamantra itself is asking for service for Krishna. Isn't the perfection of chanting is service?
Is chanting not a service? That's my answer. Chanting is a service. And perfection of service is to be absorbed in remembrance of Krishna while we're doing our service. You know, Sibal's question. While we're doing our service. And if one's service is as inspired by Krishna from within his heart, that's his service. And he inspired others to chant the holy name similarly. And do other types of, you know, we each have our relationship with Krishna. But that is certainly a service. Srila Prabhupada ki.